Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi all, Chris here for the intro. Carl was with me for this episode, but subsequently he had a baby, a little real baby, very cute little girl called Twyla. So he is keeping her alive and babysitting her rather than Uncle Trev. It was a very fun episode. Let's find out what Trev has been up to. That's why we're here. And afterwards I'll tell you what my favourite moment was. Cheers.
Let's quickly just check. So it's 7:07 a.m. UK time. I've just said I'm tired. It's 11:07 p.m. Chris just said he's tired. It's about 3:37 p.m. Australia time. And before you came on, Chris, Trev said he's tired.
Yes, right.
Just wanted you to know that he's got no sympathy for us, even though it's afternoon for him. Why? How come you're tired, Trev?
Yeah, what's your excuse, Trev?
I'm just generally tired of living. I think it's an existential tiredness.
There is. Okay. I think I've reckoned I've had that the last. I've been like, you know, a lot of people obviously have been dealing with the lockdown quite badly, you know, emotionally, mentally. I've had nothing but quite calm, positive. Yeah, I've just been like fine with it because I've had stuff to do around the house.
Yeah,
and in the last 2 days, I feel like I've finished all my chores and suddenly had an existential crisis.
Yeah,
and suddenly it was like, oh, right, it is isn't it? And I've basically just had enough on to keep it at bay. And in the last 2 days, I've suddenly gone, fuck, what do you do? I don't want to watch just telly.
Is that why you're always depressed, Trev? Because you don't do anything?
I try. I lift my weights. Yeah, I do my weights. And then I had a project or wrote a poem, and then I go, well, there's fucking nothing to do. That's bad. I've only got so much energy. About an hour and a half a day is my lot, generally, high activity stuff, I mean, you know. So then I sort of have to lay down, and then the lactic acid kicks into my muscles, and then I get more and more tired because I'm not moving, you know what I mean? That's why you get tired, because you've got the lactic acid building up.
I like the fact that laying down is an activity for you. It's on your list. To-do list is weights, lay down.
Yeah.
Weights, down, read the internet. Those are the three.
I'm still fighting gravity up to a point. Still fighting it. You know what I mean? That takes some effort. You burn up so many calories, even lying down, I still burn up a couple hundred calories.
Not as many as not lying down, I reckon.
Things like blinking, yawning, scratching your head, scratching your nuts.
Have you thought about doing some workout videos saying, guys, just blink, scratch your head,
pick your nose,
stay active?
No, I was going to say, when you get really sick and it takes so much energy to do anything. Like, that shows you how much energy you use doing nothing, you know what I mean? Like, when you get sick, you can't even fucking, you know, blink or yawn or anything. Yeah. You're so exhausted. That's because those things require a lot of energy, really, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, so when you're well, you just don't realise how much energy you're using because you're distracted high-functioning...
There's a rumour when you wake up, you burn off 1,000 calories or some shit. I remember hearing that as a kid. I was like,
I've heard that.
You know, you burn up calories. Thinking burns up calories as well. Obviously, your brain requires energy, and you know, a lot of energy goes to your brain. So, you know, if you're thinking, and I'm
that's
always
why I'm
thinking,
so tired at the minute, just so deep in thought.
Yeah, you are. That's what it is. That fucking deep thinking shit fucked you right up.
Trev, just a weird thought I just had based on your talk of gravity and how tiring gravity is. You know, like ages you as well, isn't it? Like everything gets dragged down. Do you reckon if you just like, if you just sort of were a space, an astronaut in space for like 50 years, would you have lovely skin? Lovely unaged skin?
Yeah, but the problem with that was if you're in zero gravity, you have no reason for a skeleton. Right? You have no reason to have bones.
Good point.
So what would happen to your bones?
Your bones would go. They'd go away.
Did you know what you look like? You know them things you see outside, like big car showrooms?
Yeah,
that like
yeah, that's right.
You'd just be flapping around like that.
You come back from space and be like, mate, you look so young and flappy.
Yeah. This is so long and stringy.
Your bones would like decalcify, you know, bit by bit by bit, until you know, your bones got thinner and thinner.
Yeah.
And then eventually, I suppose you'd suffer. Yeah, you'd suffer broken bones, like sneezing or fucking, you know, doing something. Not that energetic, but you could break a bone quite easily in that position. Yeah. And then eventually, your bones would go away and you'd be like a boneless fucking person.
You'd be like a 9-year-old Pillsbury doughboy. That's what you look like. You'd have just be doughy, young, with no bone. I'd love that. Mate, two things after your trip to space. One, you look like a kid. Two, where are your bones?
Stretch Armstrong.
I'm not sure. I think
you're like a cheese string.
Bones would go. Your bones and your face would go as well. You become like an alien because they don't have much of the structure aliens, and then eventually your head would be like a round piece of jelly. Maybe it would even lose roundness because, you know, there's no gravity, so gravity causes shapes. So if you're in gravity too long, you'd be shapeless as well. You wouldn't even be in a human form. You'd just be like
an amoeba. Sort of a
Wow, an intelligent.
So that's done it. What about if you're on Earth? Is it best to? I had this. If you just, is that where you lie down a lot? If you lie down, there's less pull on your leg. If you're standing up,
yeah, that's right.
If you're lying down a lot, it's good for you.
Well, it's all about fighting gravity, and I suppose you put yourself in a position where the most efficient way to fight it is to have more surface space. You know, so when you're lying down, you've got more surface area. And
Funny beauty regime this is, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
But surely, you want your face muscles to be as tight as possible. Surely, if gravity's pulling downwards, should you not do handstands so that it tightens your face muscles by pulling them up? I'm just spitballing.
I mean, there's no such thing as a bad idea on this podcast.
If you stand on your head, I think that's why they stand on their head. I think it's either to, I don't know whether it reverses circulation or what it fucking does.
I don't know, it's meant to be quite good for you.
I can't remember the last time I was upside down. I must go. I don't know. Think about that. I did judo for a while. I didn't like it. I didn't like being in judo. They get you in hold downs where they cover your face with their body, and it's fucking horrific. If you're claustrophobic, it's really bad.
Yeah.
And they get you in these hold downs where they've got their stomach in your face, and you're struggling to breathe, and they won't let you up unless you tap them. You have to tap them. To say, right. Let me up.
On the plus side, you are they are forcing you to lie down, so it's quite good for your skincare regime.
Yeah, I suppose. Didn't think that.
Can't age if they kill you.
Exactly. If anything, they're giving you a facial, if you think about it. Not your sort of facial that you look at online, just to clarify.
It's
a good old-fashioned facial. That word facial has really had a bit of a tough time since porn came out, didn't it?
That's right. It used to just mean
a really lovely, relaxing sort of skin treatment. You can't say facial without thinking of somebody baffing on someone's face.
You know, when I was a kid, I used to really talk about having a lovely cream pie as a kid, and then that's been ruined as well. I was always just like, I'm just going to go and have a
delicious
cream pie.
Yeah.
I said, Mum, you made me another cream pie? And she was like, I made you another. Next thing you know, it means jizzing in someone's face.
Oh, no.
Not, just jizzing in someone's
in their bum, is it? Yeah, sorry. In,
up the old
bumhole.
It's not bumhole. It can be up the other one as well.
Why can't you say the word vagina? What's going on here?
I'm not a doctor, Chris. Also, because it's 7:17 a.m. I've never got up this early to say vagina before.
He never talks about porn before 9 a.m.
Oh, shit. I haven't told you about it. This is, it's kind of gross. We went to get a baby scan just before we left Australia. And it was the first time we had a male sonographer, who the people that do the scans. So it's just like the jelly and the radar-y thing. And then he was very nice on that. And then he just said, oh, just clarify, you do know what you're having, don't you? And we were like, yeah, it's a girl. And he went, yes, it is. And then he went, because if you look there, you can just see a labia. And I was like, I don't know why you told me that. And then he went, oh, and there you can see her vagina lips. And I was like, mate, this is, you've gone too far there, mate. She's I don't want to think about my unborn daughter's vagina lips.
They're the first thing to grow, apparently.
just some cells with a big old fanny on it. Honestly, stuck with me, that. It's really, I'm not happy about it.
Trev, as a baby, were you a big one, or were you a big baby or a little baby? Do you know your weight when you came in?
No, a tiny baby. I nearly died, actually. I nearly didn't make it to the fucking planet because I got a really bad cold, which when you're a baby can be fatal. So I was put in this was before high tech stuff. So they put me in a crib covered in hot water bottles. My mum's had my head just poking out of the hot water bottles. Now to keep my temperature up.
Sorry, it's a laugh. But it's just a funny image.
It's right. He's alive. It's a funny image. Yeah. So and then that saved you.
I sort of, in a way, but it left me a bit weak. When you have a major trauma like that as a baby, you tend to be weakened as a baby. So quite a weakened kid.
I read a book. I'm reading I read one last week, but I've reading another one that's off the back of it, and it's about the brain development of babies and children, and basically talks about how your parented shapes your brain, like not just emotionally, but like physically. So things like if you're left to cry without being comforted, you develop like higher cortisol spikes, which means you're much more prone to anxiety and stress in later life and things like that. Have you ever looked into any of that, Trev, to try to explain some of your modern foibles?
In a way, I mean, I come from a very neurotic family. I didn't want to do a background check on my family, like my family tree, because I thought I might come across something very disturbing.
Yeah.
And I don't want to know. If one of my ancestors were a real fucking idiot, I don't want to know that, you know what I mean? Because I've got their genes. And maybe they're expressing themselves any time. So I don't want to know anything about my family. But I did notice that most of the family was highly neurotic. My mother suffered from anxiety and agoraphobia and things like that. So I don't know whether that's a learned thing, but because I suffer from the same things.
It used to be that they thought things like depression and anxiety could be genetic, but now there's no evidence that it's genetic. They think it's all learned. So
it's very hard. It's hard to tell, isn't it? I mean, it's like the horse come before the cart or whatever. I mean, it's very hard to prove or disprove anything. It's like you just tend to think. I tend to be diplomatic, and I go, well, it's a bit of this and a bit of that. It's a bit of genes. It's a bit of environment.
But in terms of genetics, tend to be much more physical things, whereas brain chemistry tends to just develop in your early, in your first 3 years of life.
I thought first 7 years was the
first 3 is the most important in terms of parenting. That's when you sort of really, if you're going to fuck them up, you're going to fuck them up in the first 3. That's when you need to be on your best behavior.
That's what you've got to really just around them. You've got to act very professionally. Hang out like you're hanging out of your
in-laws,
parents, or something. Your in-laws, as soon as they hit 3 in 1 month, you're just off the rails, isn't it? Yeah. Just get shit-faced and start swearing.
There's something, but there's something you can do in regard. We're very social creatures, and you get a baby or a baby monkey, and socially isolated.
Yeah,
that fucked. You know what I mean?
Totally. They'll just withdraw into themselves.
Yeah,
I like the fact you said you can just get a baby or a baby monkey, and I was like, can you just get a baby monkey?
If you went to Thailand, you can just pick one up on the street and fucking. I mean, monkeys, not babies, but the
Have you ever been attacked by a monkey? I have.
Yeah, a friend of mine went for a run in Thailand. He was attacked by a monkey twice, actually. He got attacked by a monkey. So he took a taser with him. He actually managed to get a taser.
How did that work? Did he tase a monkey?
What he did, he tested it out. He shouldn't have done this. It's very bad. But he tested it out on a fucking cat.
Oh, God.
That's so mean. I just didn't expect you to say that afterwards. That's awful.
Well, just to see if it... Yeah, to see if it'd work, and then yeah, it's obviously highly immoral to do that to the poor cat. But,
oh,
it didn't kill the cat, but obviously it traumatised the cat, no doubt. But at least he knew, yeah, the taser worked.
Yeah, I mean, that's one silver lining.
I will say that animals are very sensitive. We tried to cut our dog's hair this week, he definitely was... It's so funny how like much personality dogs get. He was like definitely like... gave us a silent treatment for like 2 days.
Really?
I thought he was never gonna like us again, and now he's like back to normal. But the first day he didn't want to go near us, and then
imagine your parents when you were 4 or 5 just held you down and shaved your head.
It's true.
You definitely wouldn't take it well, would you?
Have you had it de-sexed or whatever?
We rescued him, as they say, even though we got a second-hand dog, I guess. But we get them from these people, this company, this charity, I guess, rescues these dogs, and then they make sure they're neutered, and then they give them to the right person. But he'd just been neutered, and he still had his ball sack. Oh, this is an interesting thing about dogs, by the way. Sack for ages, but then it seems to have kind of, after about a year and a half, kind of almost disappeared. But then our friend has a dog who had been neutered, but then his balls have come back, because what some dogs do when they're getting neutered is they kind of suck their balls up into them. So you think you've got rid of them. I mean, I've never neutered
a dog. They
hide
their balls so that people can't find them. Do they?
Yeah,
it's like Frank on their balls.
Yeah.
Might have been the acid.
You've got to find the bollocks diary before you can...
that's what you do in martial arts. They've got these people who you can kick them in the balls as hard as you like.
I've seen
and
that.
And they're just oblivious to it, you know what I mean? You kick them full front, kicks full power into the balls, they just look at you and fucking smile. Right?
And it's what, so what they're doing is pulling them up and just...
Yeah, that's right. They're sucking the balls up into the,
bringing the
cavity
old,
of their...
The landing gear
question,
up.
Quick question on that.
Yeah,
what
that's
about
right.
your dick? What about your dick?
Yeah, what about your dick?
Yeah. It still hurts someone kicks you in the dick.
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, their balls are fine, but their dick is absolutely mashed to shit.
Their dick's like, where are you guys going?
You probably got a choice. You could probably suck your dick up or your balls, and you go, well, I'd say the balls are probably...
Definitely say, yeah, the balls. I mean, your dick can be as mangled as you like, as long as you're fine.
Yeah,
but your balls, your balls.
Those ugly, sneaky bollocks just managed to do.
Oh God, that is. I've never known that. I've seen videos of that, people getting kicked in the balls and just firming it, but like, I didn't realise they were sort of retracting their testes.
Did anyone ever ask you to kick them in the balls as a karate student, Trev?
No, mainly it was like one bloke used to get off by, if you punched him like in the head sometimes, he seemed to, he was like oblivious to it. He was such a big bull of a man with a big fucking jaw and a big thick head and fucking thick sinewy neck. And if he put a glove on, I'm not saying bare knuckle, he put a glove on, he said, "Well, punch me in the head as hard as you like and see what happens." And you'd hit him full fucking power and nothing had happened. Just he'd fucking just stare straight ahead.
What a psycho.
I love it. It's like I had mates who always used to like go like, "Go on, punch me in the stomach as hard as you can," and they'd just like tense their muscles, and you'd be like, "I don't really want to, mate. It's not really, I don't really see the point." But they just loved it. They just loved the fact they could take a punch in the stomach.
Well, we got this protective equipment when we were doing karate. We had this protective headgear.
Yeah,
it was called. It wasn't like boxing headgear, similar to boxing headgear, but a bit flimsier, actually, not quite as compact and well-made. So we got this, it was called safety equipment, for the head.
Right.
So we're all very excited because we've never been punched in the head before, because this is before I did boxing and that. So we got this equipment from America, and we thought the equipment would make you invulnerable to fucking being punched in the head. We thought once you've got this on, you're anything. So, So Ozzy, my mate Ozzy, put it on, and he said, go on, hit me as hard as you like. He was thinking we were going to hit him, nothing's going to happen, right? He went fucking whack, punched him in the fucking head, and he went, oh, fuck this, and he just fucking threw it in the fucking corners.
Wow.
He thought it would make him like fucking Superman, but it didn't work. There's still a certain amount of,
yeah, of course,
pain and shock, mainly shock.
And momentum as well. You're actually still going to get punched. Your head's going to go flying. It's not...
yeah. But it's
have you got an Australian... have you got an Australian mate called Ozzy?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but O-double-Z-I-E, yeah. I did right, have. Okay. I haven't seen it for years.
Is it from the South American name Osvaldo?
He was Italian Yugoslav. Really, really good, good bloke, but very, very violent. Extremely violent.
Yeah, no, it happens.
It's hard to tell from that story.
anyway, we got this black belt. He's a black belt called Ray. We called him Young Ray. He's 17, so he's quite young. So we called him Young Ray. And... and he'd never been hit. He was a black belt, for fuck's sake. He was a black belt. I qualified black belt. And we put the headgear on him, and Ozzy said, Ozzy just slapped him. He didn't actually punch him in the head. He just gave him a big fucking slap, like a bear's paw, just fucking whack in the side of the head. And Ray, who'd never been hit before, when you looked into the fucking, into the safety equipment, looked into his eyes, you could see tears welling up. Because he'd never, so he'd never been hit before, but the shock of it was so traumatizing that he cried. So there you go.
And that's when he turned from Young Ray into Old Ray.
That's right.
Into just Ray.
No, he went from Young Ray to Missing Ray. He went from there to Missing Ray because we never saw him again after that bug.
He hung up his black belt, mate. Never threw a kick again.
Yeah, that was the Young Ray. He was a gay, you know, the bloke gay. We went away and there was Young Ray. He was like a homosexual. And we had two beds. I think I've told you before where...
Sorry, Trev, just slow down one sec. That story you just went from, you know, young... you know. Sorry, I'll just give me some more context. You've gone, you know, Young Ray, a gay...
Well, there's Young Ray. Yeah. We didn't know Young Ray was gay.
He is gay. I thought this was relating to another story now, but... I mean, another
person.
Well,
in a way it is.
But it's Young Ray. Same. Young Ray, you got slapped in the head, turned out to be a homosexual.
That's right. Yeah, okay. We went away, but it was me, Young Ray, and Young Paul. Actually, another Young Paul.
Why are you hanging out with young people, you old creep?
Yeah.
How old were you?
I think I was 20, I think 23.
Okay, that's not too bad. Right.
Old granddad Trev, as I used to
say. Yeah, that's right. Slightly older Trev. And because there was two beds, I had a choice of bed. There was a double bed and a single bed. And me being the highest grade, I had a choice of bed. Did I want to share the bed with one of those, Paul or Ray, or do I want my own bed? So I took the single bed. And Young Paul, he said, well he's got to sleep with Young Ray. And it turned into a bit of a gropey kind of night.
Oh, really?
Right, okay.
And and then, so I missed out on that. I turned out a heterosexual.
Only time in your life you've turned down a hand job.
Yeah.
Was Young Paul gay as well?
Young Paul was, but he didn't know it. He'd been lying to himself.
He found out that, man. Yeah.
That's right.
So you just lay in a bed, single bed next to two guys getting off of each other.
But they didn't wake me up. They were very subtle with it. And,
nice of them, isn't it? A couple of nice young men.
Such polite young gays.
But from that point on, that he was like gay, there were two gays instead of one. So it was like a symbiotic experience.
What a lovely end to a story.
Yeah.
What a fucking weird story that is.
Yeah.
You made a holiday.
It's one of Trev's more strange stories.
Yeah, right. But anyway, I'm here now.
Where were you? Where were you on holiday, Trev? Give me some more details of this.
We went down to Mount Gambier, Mount Gambier is a town, it's a fair way, about 400 or 500 miles from here, where the Blue Lake is. You probably heard of the Blue Lake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a volcano, a former volcano, which has got some kind of, it's got this water in it that's like, it's a chemical thing and it's completely blue. I mean, it's not just fucking like the ocean, it's like bright blue. And people go down there and go diving and take photos and shit. Yeah, so I've been there once, had a look at it, go, well, it's just a fucking blue water, but it was quite entrancing for
it. So you went with those two for what, a couple of days, and then they were just getting off of each other. Like, I want more details of the whole trip.
Well, it developed into a full-blown homosexual relationship.
Right.
They were with each other for 4 or 5 years. They were with each other when they stopped doing karate. That was like the end of the relationship, like a karate orientated homosexual relationship.
Such a bloke's way to end a relationship as well.
Just
karate and they're like, we're done.
just end it by doing a bow and putting their shoes on and fucking off.
it's a different period back then. Back then it was frowned upon. Not frowned upon, you could get beaten up. It was more than a frown. So sort of.
That's why you had to do karate as well.
Black belt in karate, mate.
Yeah, the only people allowed to be gay had to have a black belt in karate.
That's back in 1975, that was. So going back a fair way.
That is. Different times.
Right. Different
well,
times.
That sounds quite, you sound quite innocent at the time. It sounds very innocent the way you tell it, actually.
Yeah. It's pretty sort of naive. I trusted everyone and I took people at face value and... I didn't really know about the darker side of humanity. I found out later, obviously, and became very cynical and full of hate because of it. But when I was younger, I was extremely naive, very, very, very wide-eyed and innocent. I was, you know what I mean?
Have you ever been conned out of money? That feels like something that might have happened to you.
Yeah, I've been conned out of money. I mean, bloke said, can you lend? Yeah, it's just petty change, really. I mean, because I trusted someone to pay me back and they never did. So, that's a lesson in life, though. Even things like that are a lesson, aren't they? And it learns you to be a bit suspicious, which I think not everyone's nice like we are. There's some cunts out there, very wary of them. And that's something you learn when you're, it's not that important. If you get ripped off when you're 15 or ripped off when you're 15, it's not important because you've got no money. But when you get older, you need that, survival.
That nouse to get 2 free houses.
You know when you're going to maybe ripped off.
Go get us 2 free houses. How's the sort of tactics going of trying to get this third house? Are you working your way into sort of Ben's will?
I know, before you came on, I think we learned that Trev and Julia are being evicted and going back to Sydney.
Have you been evicted?
Yeah. Well, yeah, in a way we are. In a nice kind of way. Ben just wanted to know he said, what are your travel plans? So that's a nice way of staying.
That's a nice way of going. When are you fucking off?
Did you pick up on that, or did Julia?
Yeah, sort of that's right.
Did Julia tell you that that's what he meant? Because I imagine
Julia's been picking up. I'm very naive. As I said, I'm still a bit naive. I mean, I think that everything's fine. Everything's fine between us, but obviously there's a simmering discontent, which I didn't really pick up on. Julia picked up on it, but then there was always could it come in sometimes to be fairly silent, and then there was a tension building. So I tended to just keep talking, just to keep the, just so...
Right over that tension, mate.
Yeah, those silences are very bad, aren't they? Very uncomfortable. So I try and fill them with meaningless conversation. So,
how long have you been there for?
It's now, we arrived January the 26th, Australia Day.
Wow. So you've been in his house for over 4 months. I mean, that's quite a long stay.
That's quite a long stay.
I get annoyed if someone stays with me for over a week. So that's...
Right. Well, it is a small flat. There's 3 of us. And I think Ben likes to bring women over and, whatever. And we're sort of in the way of his...
Has he brought any women back whilst you guys have been there?
He brought a couple just on a friendly level. They came in and walked around and fucked off, basically. But I think he wanted them to stay. And
saw that you and Judy were just sitting on the sofa and then they probably had to leave.
That's right, yeah. So I think
you're not picking up on stuff. I can imagine one of them leaves and he goes, so what are your travel plans, guys?
Yeah.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
How's Julia? How's the relationship going between you? How's the similar intention?
Me and Julia are getting on really well. She's heavily into walking. She's found a love of walking, not just doing it for the. She really enjoys the walk. You know, these 6K walks, does them every day. She's slimmed right down. I don't know. She's lost quite a few kilos, and she's looking very desirable.
I don't think you could have worded that compliment better, worse, personally.
We're getting on really well, and she now looks desirable. But somehow sounded mean, a little bit mean.
But she found the joy of exercise, you know, that you actually feel good from it. It's not just about losing weight; it's about you go out and you feel
good.
The
endorphins.
You
look like you've lost weight in the face, Trev. You look like you've lost a bit. Like, it looks like you're not eating as much, like sugar.
Not so much sugar, and I'm drinking a little bit of red wine. I'm not drinking much beer, all that stuff that bloats you up. So I'm drinking a little bit of red wine. I'm walking probably as much as Julie. I'm doing these long walks, like 6Ks, mainly 6Ks as we go.
Just in the opposite direction, and then you just like loop back around at the end.
I walk at night. I prefer to walk at night. I like the isolation. I like the stars and the moon, and I like walking that kind of environment with no people around. And it's a bit of drizzle falling. I really like if it's drizzling. I love that. It's drizzling and the moon's out. Fucking, you know, no humanity. I just feel like I'm walking the, what is it? Plato's Walk. And there's that place in Greece where Plato used to walk. They've got his path. And people go there and just walk on it and think. That's when I walk at night, that's what I feel like. I feel like I'm a philosopher.
You should mark it out so people could do Trev's Walk.
Yeah. What did you think about on your last walk? What was the main thing you were thinking about? Any lists?
Well, I tell you, last walk, I think I walked with Julie and Ben. Julie was wearing a 10-kilo vest to make walking harder, and Ben was trying to keep up with her. Yeah, well, he was keeping up with her. He slowed down to keep up with her, and I bolted ahead. I was like walking really quick. You know what I mean? I was challenging myself to, you know, walk fast. And walking at night is a bit more challenging than during the day as far as stroke recovery goes. So I just found myself, I'd really quick walk. I really bounded down there. And then on the way back, I did illegal chin-ups on the park chin-up. They've got the chin-up bar taped up, so you're not supposed to do them. I thought, fuck this. I jumped over the barrier and did illegal chin-ups and then continued to walk.
But that chin up felt really good afterwards, didn't it?
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
But those muscles, these muscles were built whilst breaking the law.
Imagine the next episode, it was just me and Chris, and we're like, sorry, guys, Trev's actually currently in prison for chin-ups.
He's in prison where he can do as many chin-ups as he bloody likes.
Yeah, I get fucking chin-ups there. Plenty of bars to hang from.
It's true.
I should read you my poem, shouldn't I?
Yeah, let's do
the poem and then let Chris go to bed.
Then I'm going to bed.
Okay, I haven't got a name for it. It's just basically like Corona or some shit, I don't know. Anyway, it goes like this. Society in lockdown, people tremble with fear. Hide away, hide away. Corona is here. A virus so deadly, it kills all in its way. That's what we're told. But what do facts say? 200,000 dead as victims accrue, but fewer by far than pneumonia and flu. A tiny fraction of TB and cancer, and no comparison with disaster. And here we all are with nowhere to go, no movies, nor sport, nor a comedy show. Restaurants and coffee shops all empty and closed. Wear your face mask, cover your nose. Fear the money, that's where the corona will be. It sticks to my fingers and contaminates me. From there to granddad, the COVID will stray. Not that I care, he's an arsehole anyway. I may feel remorse when the doc shakes his head, puts down his stethoscope and pronounces him dead. But that's life, what can we do? Out with the old, in with the new. By Darwinian law, we all must abide. Death keeps the balance and helps us survive. Call me a cynic, for I question the panic that sees the economy sink like the Titanic, that opens the door to the new world order, the masses bleating like sheep to the slaughter, believing the lies pushed by the cartels, lacking ability to think for themselves, trusting the leaders who don't give a damn, with nowhere to hide when the shit hits the fan. But the vaccine will save us, so are we told. Return things to normal, bring us in from the cold. So easy and so nice, all wrapped up with a tracking device. But normal has gone, along with the hope, our freedom and future all up in smoke. The simple pleasures of a hug and a kiss, all thrown in the bin, are now sadly missed. Get back, you must keep your distance, now accepted with little resistance. Where are we left? Is there any real doubt? We hang from the cliff, with time running out. But I'll tell you this, and I'll make it clear, we've been through worse, and guess what? We're still here.
There we go.
It's very good.
There we go. A very good poem about grand.
Long, actually. That's one you've actually. It's one of the longest ones, I reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of aspects of this virus, isn't there?
I don't think you made your agenda clear enough in it. That was my one point of view. Wasn't that obvious?
My agenda comes across. Fighting the odious world, new world order.
I'm just going to go to bed now, thinking of all my dead grandparents after that one. Good effort though, Trev. Good way to round it off.
Excellent work.
It's been fun.
The next time we speak to you will be in Sydney.
Will Julia still be there when you're there, when we do?
Yeah, she'll be there. Yeah, Julia's still here. She's got a visa for another 3 months.
That's good.
I'm hoping to convince her to stay longer, but I don't know. It's a difficult situation because I understand her desire to go home. It's because she's homesick, wants to see London. But by the same token, it's pretty bad over there. And you're going to lose a third of the economy, apparently. Boris said a third of the economy going down. So that's not a good place to go. Put it this way: if the virus hadn't happened, I'd be more than happy to be in Brixton because I like Brixton. I like being in England, but in the present circumstances, I think it's too unstable. I'll come back next year when things have maybe straightened out and you know what's going on. I just don't feel like dropping in there with so much uncertainty. You know.
I think that's fair enough. I don't blame you.
You're still drinking, or you've cut down on drinking, or
I've hardly drunk at all since the lockdown started. I got a bit pissed on Saturday, but I did some Zoom drinks with friends and just had a few Guinnesses and some gins. But apart from that, I've hardly drunk at all. So,
all right,
I'm due one. I'm going to get absolutely shit faced soon just to have a little reset.
Yeah, I had a week and one week where I got pissed every day about 5 weeks ago, and then since then I've been creative and filling my day with writing and stuff, so I don't kill myself. and playing Xbox.
Yeah, I played Coopers. I've drank three Coopers Ale last Sunday. No, last Friday, I drank three Coopers Ale. And since then, I've had maybe two glasses of wine. That's it. I've had cut right down on sugar. I had my cheat day on Sunday where I had an ice cream. And so I think that's why I've lost weight, because I've cut out all that shit, I mean. But,
it's good, mate.
But I like that. I like that stuff, but I mean, I look back on it.
I've been just eating so much food, it's unreal. That's been my real vice.
Have you put on a lot of weight?
I've put on a bit, but like I've actually now this week I've decided I'm going back to doing my intermittent fasting and just like, you know, just keeping a lid on it. 12 to 8. That's my window of eating.
Everyone I know who's done that says it actually works really well.
Oh, so yeah, I've done it before. It just takes a couple of days to get used to it, and once you're in it, it's very I find it very good. But then you just get really bored of it after about 3 weeks. Mm.
I saw, that breathing bloke, what's his name, Bornhof or something?
Wim Hof, yeah.
I saw him, he apparently climbed Everest in his fucking underpants, mate. That's
he's pretty, he loves grit. A bit of cold weather.
He swam underwater under an ice sheet, and he went blind part of the way through because his eyeballs froze.
His stuff's quite good. I like his breathing and his I have the old end of a shower cold for about a minute.
Oh, do you really? Yeah, right. Yeah. You find it invigorating, or
Actually, it takes 5 seconds to get used to it, and then you're like, actually, does it feel good?
I've had a cold shower at the end, at the end of my shower. I've had at least a minute cold for since January 2nd, 2019, every day.
And, you feel invigorated, or you can't tell what it's done anything, can you?
No, it's part of my daily routine. I love it. It totally just gets you ready for the day.
It's funny. I watched this bloke talking about ice and climbing Everest in the snow and going under ice sheets. And I went to go to bed and I touched the sheet. I thought, fucking hell, that's cold. I mean, Julia normally warmed it up for me so I can jump into bed. I thought, fuck, I'm weak, you know, compared to that bloke. And I can't get even in a fucking cold bed. You know, and disgraceful. But,
No, it's all right. I gave Carl some shit the other day because I found out he actually has an electric blanket, which I love. Was
but that's a luxury.
That's an old lady's
thing.
Not for
necessary. That's such a luxury. On a really cold night, you turn it on. It's so lovely and warm. It's like a real treat.
Yeah.
It's a fire hazard. Right,
let's
gotta go.
Wrap this up and let Chris go to bed.
Right, bye.
All right, bye.
Well, guys, as always, we need a bit of Trev in our lives, especially in these terrifying times and of uncertainty, whether it comes to health, income, sanity. Good to hear Trev is still alive, for one, because he might be in the vulnerable group, even though he's in good shape. He doesn't think he is, but he might be. He could be 85 years old, for all we know. But he's not. He's alive and well, and he's been annoying Julia, so everyone's probably happy apart from her. But what a funny little episode that was. I really enjoyed a lot of those moments. I think my favourite thing, just for the image, is when Trev had a cold as a baby. He was just covered in hot water bottles. And it just makes me giggle to think, I don't know, just in my head, it's just his head on a tiny baby. Just a moustached little one-year-old. Just bathing under many hot bottles. If you enjoyed it, guys, these are going to be sporadic. If and when we can, they'll just pop up on your feed. So keep subscribed to the podcast. Review us on iTunes. Tell your friends about it. But most importantly, stay safe.
Babysitting Trevor is a .. production hosted by Carl Donnelly, Chris Martin and Trevor Crook, and is produced by Joel Porter.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author Elizabeth Gilbert about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.